like mostly English classes, we do get into a discussion of religion. And well, like just here recently, we were talking about in our literature, but we were talking about the Puritans. And my teacher said, the Puritans were a radical people. She said they didn't believe. She said they believed that God had a chosen people, and they don't believe in the age of accountability. And she said, I don't think there's anyone in here that don't believe in the age of accountability. And I said, well, I don't believe in the age of accountability. Well, at that time, there were a couple of students who really got on my case, so to speak. And I had a girl make a statement to me, well, you are the people who sends people to hell.
Del N. Price does not believe in the age of accountability, the age at which most Christian religious groups believe that individuals become accountable to God for their sins, because it conflicts with the doctrines held by the members of the Calvin Primitive Baptist Church, where she has attended services for most of her 17 years. The Primitive Baptists hold to a strict belief that election by God, an election predestined before the beginning of time, determines an individual's salvation in eternity, and that no human works upon the earth can add to, and no human sins can detract from, the likelihood of salvation. The Primitive Baptists also believe that it is this election by God that draws people to the church, and that attempts by religious bodies to introduce religion into the lives of those who have not been chosen are of no use. Del Ann is not a member of the Calvin Church because she has not had an experience of grace, a revelation by the Holy Spirit of the elect condition, but she attends the church in which her parents are members and believes in its doctrine of election and predestination. In the early 19th century, though there were differences in strictness of interpretation of some church doctrines among Baptist churches, the various congregations and associations were not designated primitive or otherwise. But the increasing popularity of certain church-related institutions among some Baptists was causing alarm among some others. Alarm which grew into the so-called missionary controversy of the early 19th century. In 1827, at a meeting of the Kahookie Baptist Association in Halifax County, North Carolina, representatives of the 39 churches in the association issued a statement about the differences they had with other Baptist churches. In this Kahookie Declaration, the members agreed that we discard all missionary societies, Bible societies, and theological seminaries, and the practices heretofore resorted to for their support in begging money from the public. And if any person should be among us as agents of any of said societies, we hereafter discountenance them in those practices. And if under the character of a minister of the gospel, we will not invite them into our pulpits, believing these societies and institutions to be the inventions of men and not warranted from the Word of God. The Declaration went on to state non-fellowship with church members who joined the Masons or other so-called secret societies. A more detailed document, issued by an association in Maryland in 1818, known as the Black Rock Address, disavowed Sunday schools, salaried ministers, and protracted or revival meetings, in addition to the institutions mentioned in the Kahookie Declaration. The examples set by these two associations were encouraging to other anti-missionary Baptists, and in the period from 1820 to 1840, other groups declared non-fellowship from the missionary Baptists and began to call themselves primitive or old school Baptists. Among these was the Powell's Valley Association of Tennessee, which was formed in 1818, experienced the missionary controversy during the 19th century, and changed its name to the original Powell's Valley Association of Primitive Baptists in 1906. Today, the Powell's Valley Association is composed of churches located mostly in eastern Tennessee and eastern Kentucky, one of these being Calvin Primitive Baptist Church in Bell County, Kentucky. Calvin Church was at one time a member of the Red Bird Association, but for many years has been a member of the Powell's Valley Association. Calvin Church has been in existence since the mid-19th century, according to Del Ann's mother, Pearly Ann Price.
If my memory serves me right, it was in 1845. I think that was about around that time. The original building was at Calvin, and that's about 3 or 4 miles from Williams's branch. And I don't know what happened to the building, but for some reason, it was moved here on Williams's branch. They first met in a schoolhouse. The Missionary Baptist met there, the Primitive Baptist met there, and I believe maybe in the Holiness they all shared the same building, but at different times, you know. And then the Primitive Baptist built a building in 1916. On a piece of property not too far from where they was meeting in the school building. And then in 1950, the building burned. Around 57, I think, the building burned, and that's when we erected the block building that we have now.
Pearly Ann lives with her husband and children just a few steps up the branch from the Calvin Church, where she is a member. Her mother, Cleo Green, lives one door up from Pearly Ann in a house that Cleo and her father built by hand. She is 58, has lived most of her life on Williams's branch, and has been a member of Calvin Church since 1952. She began attending the church while in her teens.
Back then, they didn't have cars and things like that, you know. And it was, run in this community, they just had church once a month, you see. And everybody looked forward to that, to going to church, because they couldn't go nowhere else. Well, some did, because they rode horseback, you know, and things like that. Some would walk. I walked with other people, you know. I walked to church from here to Brannis Creek, across the mountain, and make you tired though. We'd start real early in the morning. We'd get there by service time, you know, 9, 10 o'clock. Well, I'd read that walk back. Oh.
These three women, mother, daughter, and granddaughter, spoke with us about the church in which they grew up, sharing their feelings about their faith in order to help us understand something of the experience of a Primitive Baptist. They don't claim to speak for Primitive Baptist as a whole, or even for the Calvin Church. They spoke of what their faith means to them, and also are the singers you hear in most of this program.
Oh, thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, on whom in affliction I call my comfort by day and my song in the night, my hope, my salvation, my all.
A Primitive Baptist believes in grace and hope. Grace is an unmerited gift of God, and it is because of God's grace that an individual can have hope of salvation. Only those people chosen by God because of grace are given hope and thereby escape an eternal life in hell.
The other orders, they more or less put God on a weak scale, like, well, you got to help the Lord. You got to work your way into heaven. The Primitive Baptists say, if God died for you, then you're going to heaven. Then there's the question brought up between the two orders, the chosen people. Some people that doesn't fit them at all. I believe there is a chosen people that will soon live in heaven when God comes back. And I don't believe that they will have to confess anything to get there, because God will reveal himself to each one of his children sometime in life. And he will reveal himself to them to make them know that they are a child, and because they are one. It's nothing they've done or nothing they can do. It just happens. Then you get questions asked when you say this, what about people who never, you know, seem to feel anything? Well, you know, that's hard. That's like judging, but a person who doesn't care, I mean, just doesn't care, well, God hasn't seemed to reveal. You just have to take it, just leave it in God's hands. Because there are people that's going to hell. And it's not God's fault. He saw fit to take some of us out, and we all could have been left in the state that it was supposed to, that we were in. But he saw fit to choose some of us out, and that's the way you have to look at it. I mean, I've been in a state at some times worrying about people that are going to hell. But then you can't worry about that, because people that are going to hell has just been left in the state that they were.
Ye daughters of Zion, declare, have ye seen the star that on Israel shone? Say it in your tent, my
grace and hope are neither sought after nor worked for in the primitive Baptist religion. Rather, at a predestined point in time, a person who is saved or elect will be made aware of the condition by the Spirit of God. This revealing of election is called an experience of grace. During the experience, which for most primitive Baptists lasts several years, there are stages that the individual passes through. The first is the feeling of being a helpless sinner and recognizing an all-powerful God.
They probably find themselves in a condition to where they are a sinner. And it's nothing they can do that's going to get them to heaven but what God has already done. And It brings a different approach than any other religion that I have, you know, I have been in contact with. You feel like you're from what I have observed, you feel like you're in like the bottom of a pit and you're never going to get out until you do something. But in the other orders of the world, it doesn't seem like it's that meaningful. Like if a person, to hear others say, other doctrines say, you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. And I think that has a lot of bearing with the people who join the church, because they look at this and they say, well, you know, God doesn't save you today and then he just loses you tomorrow. I'd say they have God on a bigger level than the other doctrines. They have to, because they have to recognize God as being everything.
Recognizing oneself as a sinner in need of God's help is evidence of a spiritual nature, because this realization comes from a spiritual insight that is given by God. A person continues to feel helpless until he or she experiences, through a dream, a vision, or just a feeling, that grace has been given on his or her behalf. Before the experience of grace, the primitive Baptist is aware of sinfulness and unable to do anything about a sure destruction in hell. After the experience of grace, the primitive Baptist has reason to hope that because of God's grace, he or she will be saved. Upon obtaining a hope, some join the church immediately. Others never actually join the church at all.
As much as I have been around the church, I have seen the two kinds of experiences. One has one experience, if a person has it, he usually joins. The other experience, he does not join. Some people may have the experience of They just feel bubbly with love all over. And usually they have to join the church. And then sometimes they run all their life. And they never join the church. But still in their heart, I believe that they believe that this doctrine will be the truth, because it's the only thing that could ever fit their case.
No altar calls are given in the Primitive Baptist Church. When someone feels impressed to ask for a home in the church or join, they request to do so at the close of the worship service, when it is announced that the doors of the church are open for membership. At this time, the individual has already experienced grace and steps forward to give a testimony of the experience. Upon hearing the testimony, the other members vote on whether to receive the individual into the church. And if the vote is yes, the other members come forward and offer the right hand of fellowship, shaking hands or embracing the new member.
You first got to have a feeling of the Lord, I'd call it, to want to go. Oh, I went a long time before ever I joined the church. But one night I was there and just had a blessing. It went all over me. And I went up and gave myself to be a member. And I talked. If you feel like talking, why, you talk. If you've got a dream you want to tell, why, you've had, it feels like it means a whole lot to you, why, you tell that. And,
did you have a dream to tell?
Well, not really. I just told them how I felt, and things like that.
Most of the Primitive Baptist people, I say, have had a long period of time before they was a member of the church, of the Primitive Baptist Church. Because the faith, the doctrine that the Primitive Baptist Church believe, if you've ever heard it, when you have this conviction, if you've ever heard it, then it does take a long period of time, because it's really hard to understand. But you eventually do understand it. If you ever hear it, then you will understand that it's probably the only thing that really makes any sense. It's not as quick as going to the altar and getting saved, the next day going out and doing this, which I'm sure there have been members. I'm talking about the majority of the members of the Primitive Baptist Church. They stick with it a lot longer.
Mixtures of joy and sorrow I daily do pass through. Sometimes I'm in the valley, then sinking down with woe. Sometimes
once we've experienced that change from nature's darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord. We certainly have mixtures of joys and sorrow. This world is not our home. We realize we're pilgrims and strangers. And this conflict that goes on in our life after being regenerated and born again with the Spirit of God, it will continue to do so because we're not at home in this world. And I think that song certainly describes the condition of or my experience that I've had along the way.
Sometimes I read my Bible. It seems a silly book. Sometimes I find a blessing wherever I do look. Sometimes I go to meeting and wish I'd stayed at home. Sometimes I find my Jesus, and then I'm glad I come.
The spiritual condition is one of hope. There is also doubt. Primitive Baptists spend most of their lives in times of hope and doubt. These feelings are simply reflections of the two natures, the spiritual and the natural, that a primitive Baptist experiences inwardly after the experience of grace.
The Apostle Paul said when he was talking about the conflict, that there's two laws in my members, one warring against the other. And you've been born again by the Spirit of God, there's certainly a change that's taken place that if you are at home in this world, there is peace in the Lord, and in that we do have peace. Once we've been, we do have peace. That's our assurance. But we live in the world. We're not of the world, but we live in the world. Therefore, we are definitely, if there's been a change taking place in the heart, there's got to be a conflict against the things of the world. And there is good brethren in the world that talk about knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt and knowing these, having these great assurances, but we're still mortal beings in this house of clay, that we have to contend with this nature that we have. But lots of times, even in our darkest moments and our lowest valleys, there's that little glimmer of hope all the time. In fact, if we knew things beyond a shadow of a doubt, what would we have to hope for? You know, we have, I feel like that glory itself will be the ultimate goal in which a child of God we'll have that complete and perfect assurance. But there is no such thing as long as we live in this tabernacle of flesh that we'll ever know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I feel like the good brethren that say otherwise as certainly fled.
Hope is the very foundation of their spiritual life here on earth. And the primitive Baptists describe it as a sweet hope. While in this life there are doubts and fears, one of God's chosen people can never lose hope of an eternal life in heaven.
Hope is, sometimes people think of hope as being something that might be or might not be. But the hope of primitive Baptists and the hope of the Lord's children everywhere is Jesus Christ himself. Not that you just hope that you'll get out here and you'll start your car and it might start and it might not. But the hope is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what hope is. And a lot of times people look at primitive Baptists and they say, well, you just got to hope. But that's all anyone needs is Jesus Christ himself, the hope of glory.
We shall sleep, but not forever. We shall rest beneath the trees. We shall wake to live forever in the land where Jesus is. Then we
The tension between spiritual and worldly natures is never fully resolved in this life. In our earthly existence, the two natures persist, so therefore does the conflict between hoping and doubting. To the primitive Baptist, the conflict is finally resolved in death. Death to an earthly existence is a death to doubting. There is much reflection on death. The hymns, sermons, testimonies, and religiously oriented conversations among primitive Baptists are full of references to it. Some relate natural feelings of fear, dread, or anxiety. Some spiritual feelings of hope or longing.
Ever since I can remember, these questions have been a problem to me about death. I think it has a lot to do with the environment, people around me. They've had a lot to do about that, you know, the way I feel about death. People around here, I think they lie to themselves about death, you know. People say, well, I just want to go right now, you know, but I don't think they mean it. They can't mean it. They really don't mean it. They just say that. And I don't really know why they say it. That has created a problem, but I guess it's just sort of like vibes I've picked up on. They don't really mean that they really want to go. And, they're talking, the preachers, they will say like, death is supposed to be a joyous occasion. It's not a joyous occasion for your natural, you know, instinct. And, people say, I don't want any crying at my funeral. They do want crying at their funeral. If they thought nobody was going to cry at their funeral, they would be very upset about it. I know I want people to cry at my funeral because I'm gone. And it's just that type of thing. And I guess when I was little, it was hard for me to really understand that they really want to die. They didn't want anybody crying at their funeral. And I took them seriously.